Chris Jones, are you out of breath? Do you need me to like take a break before I turn on your microphone?
I'm a professional.
You're a professional? You can do that because, listen, when I've rushed into a studio before, I didn't sound so good. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
So you said it was not news to you, but it was a little news to me. In the Tribune, at least online today, you wrote about how the production of Hamilton, after 3 years and 3 months, and maybe before more people in Chicago than in New York, is going to end its run next January 5th.
Say it ain't so. It's people are really kind of going crazy about that news. It's really kind of a thing.
You're the theater critic for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for running over here. But I like what at least the producer said. We would rather go out on a high without any vacancies on Wednesday afternoon. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, here's the thing. There's two schools of thought, right? Some people would say you've got a profitable show and you can leave it there. He could have left Hamilton here, I would assess, in my view, 2, 3, 4 years because profit margin's quite high. It makes more money than it takes to run. But on the other hand, then you've got, you know, a diminishment of the brand, as the economists say, you know, and you've got those empty seats. It's not quite as exciting for people. And you've got to remember, he's got other productions of it, for example, in New York City, where people are paying $500 a ticket, $800 a ticket. You don't really want it cut price in Chicago.
Where is it showing right now?
It's showing at the Richard Rogers Theater on Broadway. Then there are two different touring productions. Then there's a production in San Francisco and one in London.
Okay, so that's and then a permanent one in Chicago.
And then a permanent one here.
So Chicago,
January.
And New York, it's been there, and then four touring companies around the world.
That's right. And London is a permanent production. That's
so
right.
So three and three.
Yeah.
Because my brother saw it, or at least it came through Denver.
Yeah,
I don't know
if
it's still there.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
So I guess that's not a dilution of the brand. But if it's now in Madison or Milwaukee, and now we've got empty seats in Chicago, he doesn't want to be there.
Well, I think so. Hamilton can go to any city for 2 weeks and command extraordinary amounts of money at the box office. If you're in Denver and you've never seen Hamilton, it's coming through for 2 weeks, you're paying a lot of money to go and see it. Here, you've got a permanent production. So here, it's not 2 weeks, it will have been 170 weeks. Now, this is a big city, lots of tourists, more people than really you would imagine have come to that show from far away. Something like half the audience lives more than 100 miles away. So if you're a waiter in the loop, or if you work at a front desk at a hotel, that's been very good for you. I mean, it's definitely driven people to the city. And when they're here, you know, they might go see a different show. They might have a steak at Morton's. They might do any kind of other thing. So the show has been a real positive for the city, I think.
You described as back of the envelope math. You said if you just say what near capacity is for the run of the show at the going ticket price, that's $300 million. And if you do a conservative estimate of what that generates ancillarily, it's $1 billion it's done for the city.
Yeah, because of course what happens is that people buy a hotel room and then of course they go out to eat and they spend. So if you're spending, let's say, $200 on a ticket, the majority of those people coming from out of town are dropping another $500-$600. So in other words, you can take, you know, what the economists do is they say, okay, in let's say there's a multiple of three for every dollar spent on a ticket, that's $3 in the economy. So if you've got a total gross of Hamilton in the range of $350 million, and I would just say, I don't know, if you take out sports, I grant you sports, but if you take out sports, there has never been, I hereby declare, another live entertainment prospect in Chicago, a title, a show, a concert that has ever grossed $350 million. That's a lot of money. Even by your standards, John, it's a lot of money.
Why has it been so successful?
Well, that's, you know, if we all knew the answer to that, you and I could go out and make one of these and we could, you know, retire happy.
But just do a hip-hop historical thing.
I think my theories are, number one, that it had early support from President Obama, First Lady, so it became kind of a thing. It's about America, so it's people go because they want to take their kids, because it educates as well as entertains. It's really good, and, you know, let's not discount that. Most stuff is not really good. in all the people who I've sort of sent to Hamilton or who've called me up after they've been, no one has ever said it's not any good. So
do you think the casting, as counterintuitive as it was when it first broke, played into its success?
No question, John. I mean, no question, because they made the diverse casting, the diversity of the casting, is inherently part of the aesthetic of the show. And I don't know that any other Broadway musical, really any other live entertainment, has really done that as effectively as they did.
How many times have you seen it in Chicago?
I've only seen it twice in Chicago.
How many times have you seen it overall?
Five.
I want to ask you, maybe you don't have a fresh answer for me, how good is it right now?
Well, the last time I saw it was in Puerto Rico, when they opened a new company in Puerto Rico. That was one of the... I've had a lot of interesting evenings in my life. I don't ever recall anything like that. I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda came out. The ovation was such I didn't think they were going to be able to continue with the show. It was so great. And that was... When I hang this up and I'm there, you know, on my deathbed, I'll be talking about that night. It was an incredible night, and that no other show could really have managed that. I there was this press conference in Puerto Rico after the show, and the local media were asking Lin-Manuel Miranda, like, what are you going to do about statehood? What are you going to do about Trump? What are you going to do about crime? And I'm standing there thinking, this is just a guy doing a musical, and look at this. That's what Hamilton somehow managed to do. And it's like no one had ever attempted it in any sort of artistic product before.
Or it would have been so heavy-handed. I don't know that he was trying to do that. If he says, okay, I'm going to do a musical, we'll talk about America and what it means, and therefore people will ask me, what do I think about Trump and crime? I think it would have seemed too preachy or didactic. This show isn't that. You can extrapolate from it, but I never sensed the one time I saw the show that he was telling me how to run my business today.
That's an excellent point. I think it just is a sort of organic show. There's somebody said to me, actually, I guess this was something that Stephen Sondheim said about the show. He described it as generous music. And what he meant by that is, so it's based in hip hop. But if your grandma goes to see it thinking, I'm not going to like this hip-hop musical, then what happens is she gets there and she discovers it's not really all hip-hop. There's all kinds of different music in it. So one of the great things we can all learn from the success of this endeavor is have broad appeal and be kind to everybody and tolerant and meet people where they are. I mean, these are all this is what young artists often fail to grasp, that people going to any entertainment is voluntary. People go because they want to be, you know, they want to see things in themselves. They don't go to listen to what you have to say to them, necessarily.
I want to ask the question I asked again a minute ago, though. So how is it today? And you described your moment in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
But I wonder if I went downtown Chicago next week, would I see something comparable to what Chicagoans saw in the first 3 months when I was in town?
Well, for one thing, you'd see the same guy playing Alexander Hamilton. So Miguel Cervantes has played that same role in every production. And I don't think, you know, I don't think there's been any diminishment in that show. It's you know, there have been certain stars in it that probably you might say, okay, they are better, we all have our favorite actors in those roles. There was a guy called Josh Henry who was in it early on, who was unbelievable. You go tonight,
as
you
don't. Whom?
As Aaron Burr. And that, you know, that those stars are sort of gone now, and that is the way it is. But Miguel's still there, and it's a high quality show. The thing I think to really appreciate is that this world doesn't rely on individuals. It's not like a rock concert where it's all in the brand of a Mick Jagger or a Britney Spears. It's the show. So they have to keep it good, because otherwise then people start, you know, what they have begins to deteriorate.
Chris Jones is the theater critic for the Chicago Tribune, announced today that January 5th of next year, there will be no more Hamilton in Chicago.
Sad news.
Do people come up and give you their review all the time?
All the time. You know what happened to me last night? I was at the Victory Gardens Theater and I was waiting. I valet parked. And there's a guy, the doorman, the valet parker guy, he goes, how many stars? I said, what's it to you? He said, do you want your car back?
Wow.
Only in Chicago, man.
Yeah. How many stars?
I added one, so I got my car back.
12.
However many you need.
I was disappointed in Hamilton.
You were not.
I was.
Why?
I don't know, because I'm better than everybody. That must be it, John. I think maybe because I'd been, you know, what happens to any show that's great, and then you go see it, and it doesn't live up to your expectation. I didn't think the second act was as good as the first, blah, 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 but I know I'm an outlier.
You are.
You don't hear that much at all.
I don't. The first time I've heard it.
That makes me feel kind of good,
that's
to be
good.
Honest with you.
Yeah.
So the show holds up. What's going to happen to tickets now?
That's the clever thing, right?
There's a deadline.
That's the clever thing. If you could see my Twitter feed today, so you know that news, Lin-Manuel is the master of Twitter, and he's sort of tweeted that out, tweeted the story out. So it's just gone nuts. So now what'll happen is, I think, from now until January, it will be heavily sold. It's kind of brilliant. They're so good.
And will it be an upcharge? I'm going to be or an uptick? I mean, the secondary market's going to go through the roof.
It is as they like to say, demand-based pricing. So I think you'll find that here's when I think it'll be really expensive, is over the Christmas and New Year period.
So if you haven't seen it yet, and you think this show's good, fine, you better go get your tickets now.
Yeah, and I always say the best time to go, if you want a very good seat without paying much money, the quietest time for all these shows is usually September, just as the kids go back to school. So I would think about that. If you want, and also, of course, on a weeknight, you know, those Tuesday, Wednesday nights, it's not, you know, it's not incredible. You could go tonight for not that much money. It's not, you know, the danger is that
100 and a half.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can get in there for under 100 if you don't mind crap seat. But I mean, if you want a very good seat, most weeknights, 100 and a half. I think on a weekend, you're probably 225, but that's about half what it is in New York.
A funny thing happened to my brother with his ticket. Can I tell you a little story? Chris Jones, theater critic, Chicago Tribune, in our studio writing today and visiting with us about Hamilton. So the last show is going to be January 5th. They announced. You explained the logic of that to us. So you endorse or support their decision to move out of Chicago after the first of the year?
I wouldn't say I endorse it. I understand it. It makes sense from their point of view. It's probably not great from Chicago's point of view, where it's better for us just to have the show. But from their point of view, they'd rather go out on a high. They'd rather go out with every ticket sold. And, you know, you have to look hard to find any ads for Hamilton. There's not many of them. There's the odd taxi. That's it. So they don't like to spend money to get ticket sales.
They don't have
to,
hardly.
No, they don't have to. So they'd rather just go. They just have a unique product that it's, you know, it's a funny business, show business, because it's scarcity. You have to to some degree, you want to create the perception that it's really hard to get a ticket, even if it isn't.
Yeah, or is. And when the show went to Denver, where my brother and sister-in-law live, the tickets were in such demand. The secondary market was so great that he sold the ticket that he had and then bought plane tickets, flew to Chicago, and got better seats.
There you go.
He made so much money on the secondary market from a ticket that he was able to sell it, fly to Chicago, stay here, and watch it in good seats and still have money in his pocket for dinner.
And commune with his brother while he was here.
Everybody won.
Everybody wins.
Well, it's nice to see you, Chris. So anything else I can do for you? What are you writing about besides this? Anything you want to plug? You got a show? You sing? You dance?
I've got a big new book out, which is actually partly about Hamilton. It's called Rise Up, is the name of it. And it's sort of the story of how Broadway created Hamilton. It's sort of about, you know, just how we got to that point. What were the forces that actually brought that together? It talks a bit about, you know, the end of the Obama administration and then the beginning of Hamilton. And there's a thing in it, too, I talk about, which is sort of interesting to me, about if you look at all the controversial Trump tweets, like there's many of them, as we all know. The very first one that really got attention on Twitter was actually about Hamilton, when Mike Pence went to, if you remember that, Pence goes to Hamilton, and they get booed, and Trump the next morning is like, unfair, unfair. And I was like, wow, when they write the history of Trump's tweets, as you know they will, somebody will write a narrative about that. Hamilton will figure.
We're out of time. The book is called Rise Up.
Rise Up, yeah.
I don't have this book. How long has it been out?
I got it just a few weeks. I'll have to get you a copy.
Oh, you'll have to come back. I'll read the book and I'll tell you what I think about it.
All right, John.
I know you can't wait for my review. Read Chris Jones in the Chicago Tribune and read that book called Rise Up when you get it.